and welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey motherfucking Vera, and we have our confidant's favorite, most requested, fun, badass segment here for you today. That's right, we got our one and only HTH, our hoe throughout history. And y'all know what this segment is all about. Okay, we are here to reclaim the narrative of unsung heroes that were women, gays and theys, rebels, straight up rule breakers who made history blush and we don't hear enough about them. Don't forget, I went to public school, so this is kind of like me reclaiming my education. If I could rewrite the history books, whew, what I would include. And this one is a fun long one, so I'm going to get right into her, okay? This week, we are stepping off this continent and going over to some Eastern history into the glorious chaos of 7th century China to meet the one, the only, the baddest bitch to ever sit on the dragon throne, Empress Wu Zetian. She was China's first and only female emperor. Not empress consort, not empress dowager, whatever that means. Not some side chick to the dynasty, okay? She took the throne, and let me tell y'all, confidants, she ruled pretty ruthlessly. Like, I don't know if she's the villain, if she's the hero, but she did some baller, crazy, chaotic shit. And can we have a balanced person in such power back then? I don't know. It's up for us to decide. She was brilliant. She was sensual. She was suspicious. I kind of read all of her bio stuff as much as I could watch and consume. And I was like, okay, so this is if like Cersei Lannister had a baby with Machiavelli and raised it on feminist scrolls only to write her own horror ending, which is kind of like what Cersei did, right? I don't know. It's been a while since we watched Game of Thrones. Now, was she a tyrant or just a queen who played the patriarchy's game better than the men who wrote the rules? Oop. Did she? Okay, now stay with me, confidants. Did she kill her own baby in a power grab, or was this just sexist propaganda and rumors? Okay, because the people who were starting these rumors might have been the men that didn't really like her. Did she seduce her way into power with monks, teenage lovers, and a whole ass religious rebrand like a freaking spiritual influencer? Yes. No. Maybe. So let's dive right in. Okay, chapter one, I called this one the pretty girl problem child. Wu Zhao, which was her birth name, was born around 624 CE in Shaanxi province during the Tang Dynasty. Her family was wealthy, educated, and unbothered by traditional gender rules. Okay, her dad ran a timber business, and her mom could read, which in 7th century China was basically like being a freaking witch, okay? And Lil Wu was given a full education. So she came from a family that was like, we're going to set you up for success, baby. We don't believe in all this nonsense. We're going to be rebels ourselves. So she was taught Confucian classics, poetry, politics, and probably a solid foundation in women's fury. Am I right? By age 14, she entered the imperial court of Emperor Xizong as a concubine. And I was like, what does that word mean? It's basically like the ancient version of a royal situationship. You're technically dating the emperor, but so are 50 other chicks. And they all are hot and perfect postured and questionable morals. And they all want job security. This was a real position. Okay. Wu was ranked so low in the concubinus that her main duty was likely like keeping up with the feminine tasks, as they called them, like the laundry and cleaning. She wasn't probably the first Playboy bunny in bed every night is how I took it. But she paid attention. Okay. She was at the low ranks, but she was looking up. Okay. She saw the ladder that she could climb. She watched who got promoted, who got punished, and how the power moved behind closed doors, because she got the BTS that no one else could see. Like, I just have to imagine me at 14, like, learning how to drink Parrot Bay in a parking lot with friends without getting caught. And she was learning how to, like, survive in a palace full of horny bureaucrats. Okay, we are not the same. She had plans. I was still trying to feel comfortable in my own body. Maybe that's what happens when you don't grow up with Cosmopolitan. You set your sights on something larger. So when Emperor Sejong died in 649, concubines were expected to shave their heads and retire to Buddhist convents. That is basically like a nun retreat for ex-girlfriends of the royal king. That's crazy. I don't know who the fuck started that rule, but that's insane to be like, all the side chicks got to go too. When he goes, y'all got to get out of here. We don't want you for the next guy. Go find business elsewhere, which really is truly precious job insecurity. Because you're like, how old is this motherfucker? It's kind of like being, oh my God, this is exactly like Hugh Hefner. She's our Holly Madison. Okay, I got to stop comparing. Okay, so Wu went, but she didn't stay at the nun factory. Okay, that's where we enter Emperor Gaozong, Sejong's son. And rumor has it that while daddy was still alive, Wu and the prince had already been collaborating with their body parts. You know what I'm saying? So when Gaozong entered the throne, he sent for his boo. He was like, get her out of those nunny trenches. Get her back here. She got that good, good. Now, Wu was now sleeping with the son of her former boss, technically. I mean, yes, he was the emperor. She was employed by him, but I think she actually really liked this guy, right? The dad was just like what she had to do to get where she is. She basically went from a, you know, side chick to first lady within two dynasties, casual. But Gaozong, problem was he already had a wife, Empress Wang, and a favorite concubine, Zhao Shufei. So he already had a number one and a number two. But Wu, she studied. Okay, she went. She befriended the wife. Ooh, that's nasty. And then accused the mistress, Zhao Shui, of witchcraft. That's right. She turned against our own girlies. She really saw, how can I get them out of their positions of power? I'm going to do the classic befriend your enemy, then turn on her and make sure that the side chick, we probably should team up and like make it sound like she's doing witchcraft. Which again, don't love that for us girlies. Don't love that. But soon the tables turned, okay? She became the emperor's new favorite. And by 655, his official empress, right? So rumors say that the side piece Zhao Shui didn't survive that demotion. So it sounds like Wu was not here to lean in. She was there to take over. And here's where the legend gets a little messy. Remember I was telling you, like, I don't know if y'all are going to see her as a villain or not, but like, just listen, okay? One account claims that Wu got pregnant and then killed her own infant daughter to blame Empress Wang, okay? And used that scandal to get her deposed. So, like, let's pause, okay? Because this story also, remember, comes from a whole bunch of historians who lived after her reign, right? So, like, you know, the same men that were like, women shouldn't be able to read. So do we really trust him? I don't know. Some scholars were like, maybe the baby just died of illness. Okay. Infant mortality was brutal back then. And then maybe the rumor was weaponized later to paint her as a monster, or she did it or she did it. And it would have been a full on Netflix documentary series in 2025, which is kind of crazy. Like, you have a daughter by your main emperor, and then the wife who you've befriended, you say, oh, your wife actually killed my baby. We need to dispose of her. We need to depose and dispose. So another thing I like was reading, and I feel like we've done some hoes in histories about these kinds of women that were married to men who like killed off their entire families to stay in power, or like their cousins or relatives. And so like, if a man does it, he's making power moves. But if a woman does it, I know it's a tricky subject, cause we're talking about, you know, often babies here, but still, just something to think about. Okay. When Gazong suffered a series of strokes, Wu stepped in to handle the empire. She started attending council meetings after he would have a stroke, issuing edicts and basically like running the show. And she didn't ask for permission, right? So what do you do when the emperor's wife has been disposed of because of this crazy rumor from the first side chick, and then she also shows up to the meetings? You're not going to be the one that raises your hand and is like, hey, are you supposed to be here? You just shut up and nod. Okay. And it's not like our emperor was completely incapable of doing his job. She just was slowly starting to take over his responsibilities every time he got sick. Problem is, our boy, our emperor, he didn't last very long. He did die. And most empresses, you know, the side piece would be in mourning, right? Like, oh no, I don't know what to do. I'm going to let these men tell me who's in power. And Wu was like, LOL, no. She first installed her sons as emperors, so she did have more children. First one and the other, and kind of like ruled behind them. It's so Cersei Lannister, bro. It's so like, do this, son, do that. If you love your mama, you'll do this. But she didn't like what she was saying with them, and they got a little too cocky. So she ended up firing both of them, which is very funny. She's like stage mom who then's like, let me just do it. Okay. Don't send my two idiotic teen sons to do a job that I should have been doing all along. So by 690, she stopped pretending and she declared herself Emperor of freaking China, not Empress, Emperor. The official term back then was Huangdi, and she was the only woman in Chinese history to ever claim it. And what do you think our girl with all that power is going to do? Well, when we come back from a quick break, you're going to find out. Organic, farm-grown, never lab-made, ultra-premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Y'all know I've been traveling a lot lately, so I keep a Bliss gummy for a clean, steady lift when I need clear focus in my bag at all times, and a Snoozers gummy when it's time to wind down and actually end the day, because you never know when that jet lag gonna hit. Real Botanicals, nothing extra. Even though your girl is a little bit extra. It'll feel clean and intentional, and it always fits right into my schedule. So grab 30% off your first order at secretnature.com with code Kelsey. That's secretnature.com, code Kelsey. Oh, dark magic, forbidden romance, a remote island where survival is anything but guaranteed. House of Rain by New York Times best-selling TikTok sensation Harley LaRue is a gothic sapphic romance that collides with supernatural suspense. When Salem steps into the eerie halls of Balfour Manor, she finds herself drawn to the mysterious Rain, while something monstrous haunts the island. You want chills? Spice, 4 out of 5 peppers, baby, and secrets that refuse to stay buried? Pick up House of Rain, out now in a stunning deluxe hardcover with stenciled edges and exclusive art. It looks so good on my shelf, y'all. I had to read this thing in one night. You know I'm a big reader, so don't miss it. On sale now wherever books are sold, baby. Back to the show. Okay, so our girl is now in power. Wu is like, I am the head bitch in charge. I'm the only one to ever do it. It's never been done. Watch me. And so she decided to basically found her own dynasty. Okay, she founded the Zhou dynasty, and it ruled for 15 years. She commanded armies, she reformed government exams, and built temples where she was like, you're going to build this, and you're going to include statues of me, and I'm going to look hot as fuck. Okay, so make sure you get the proportions right. Make sure I'm in stone forever so people can come look at me and be like, wow, what a bad bitch. She was not playing around. And she was also very good at PR. Like I said, I think she would have slayed as a spiritual influencer in 2025. She knew that Confucian scholars hated seeing a woman in charge. So she was like, you know what? Fuck y'all's religion and whatever you're doing. I'm going to turn to Buddhism, which was a very progressive religion at the time, and claimed that she was a living, I'm going to try and say this word right, bodhisattva, which is essentially saint on earth. So she's leveled herself up even more. She's like, oh, you don't like that I'm in power? Watch me literally implore this religion upon all my people and then tell them that I am like the saintiest, highest of power that you can be. She used this divine branding to say, if heaven didn't want a woman to rule, why am I doing it so well? Okay. Look at me in power. I've made my way up here and y'all can't do nothing about it. And while she ruled with an iron scroll, she also enjoyed her pleasures. Okay. Like I said, our girl was a sensual ruler. She had lovers, plural, including, this made me giggle, a pair of young brothers, Zhang Yizhi and Zhang Chezong, who served as her, quote, bodyguards, quote. Mm-hmm. They're doing some kind of guarding. I mean, that's just, like, legendary, truly. Like, we know the men were doing that shit back then, and we never hear about the ladies doing it. But I think that that's just so baller, because she's like, yeah, you see these men that will chop your heads off if you try to come for me? They're also giving me that good D. Okay. They were brothers. That's a little suspicious on their own, but hey, who am I here to judge? Okay. But different times, different strokes, different folks back then. So she was also like a pretty good ruler, according to her people. She flipped the script with promoting officials based on actual merit, not favoritism in family or birthright. She would give lower class scholars a path to power. So she was reforming education. And that terrified old money elite. So yes, as bad as what she did to get there was frowned upon, she also did a lot of good with what she was given once she was there. She also, okay, created a secret police. ACAB, except this one, to keep the patriarchy in check or in prison, depending if she did or didn't like them. That brings up the age-old divine question. Like, are we just as bad as men if we flip the patriarchy completely 180? Or is it our time to rule? Like, what would we do with all that power? Is it still dictatorship if your sex life is that inclusive, is what I'm trying to say. So here we go. Wu ruled well into her 80s, which is wild, considering the fact that medieval life expectancy was like fucking 25 back then, as long as you didn't like a choke on your feast. And in 705, after decades of absolute power, ministers forced her to abdicate, to resign. They were just like, bitch, you gonna live forever. We don't like the way you're handling things. We've let you go all this way, but you're old, you're frail, you're in your 80s. We can beat you. So either resign or we'll do it for you. And she was like, fine, I will resign, but I'm also going to die. She was like, if I can't be in power, I'm going to. I got to go. I'm out here taking it on my own time. If I can't be in power, give me death. It's rumored that she took her own life. It's rumored they killed her. It's rumored that her not being in power any longer killed her. She just couldn't stand being a regular appointed person. She had no more power. And she was like, I got to be out this bitch. And she was actually buried beside her husband at a mausoleum. And this was interesting. Her tombstone left completely blank. no inscription, just like a massive blank tomb. And some say, again, she ordered it that way. They were like, let the deeds speak for themselves. Others believe that the people who buried her like didn't know how to describe her because she was doing basically all the things that a man did. And she ruled like a man, and yet they didn't know how to give her her flowers. So they were just like, we kind of can't think of anything else, and we don't want to etch this in literal stone and not be able to take it backsies because that's going to be expensive, so we're just going to leave it blank. And some people, like, fought over that, being like, she was mid because of all of the things she did to get there, but she also was a powerhouse and paved the way for a lot of things to change, so we should give her her flowers. And everyone else looked mid in comparison. So for centuries after, Confucian historians called her unnatural, manipulative, and bloodthirsty because she dared to do what the men were doing at the time, every single dynasty elsewhere. And yes, did she execute rivals and run a surveillance state? But it was of her own doing, right? It reminds me of a book I read earlier this year where women rule the world, like 99% of it, and they kept one person around just to procreate, but they kept them like in cages and stuff. And I was like, listen, if a woman's going to rule, we got to decide what to do with all these men anyway. So what do we do with them? How do we treat them? So she was basically like, look, I'm going to include y'all in my police force. Okay, but you work for me. You're spies. Wow, how cool, badass, brag about it. But all the information comes from me. And I monitor all your doings. And so, you know, baller, slavery, I don't know. Y'all make your own decision on that one. She also strengthened China's bureaucracy. Remember, she transformed education for the lower class. And she also did put some women in positions of power for the first time that some of these positions had ever had women in power. And modern scholars, okay, bringing it up to today, view her as one of China's most capable and savvy rulers, someone who understood the optics of being in charge while still having loyalty and messaging centuries before PR firms ever existed, right? Like, who knew you could rebrand yourself? That's like if Trump came out and was suddenly like, you know what, I'm actually gonna be liberal. Could you guys believe? And everyone was like, wait, but we supported your beliefs, but we are also like fangirls of you. So what do we do? And it's like if people just decided to stay with him no matter what he believed. Like, that's how beloved she was by the people, even if the men in power did not love her. So she wasn't, you know, a footnote. She wasn't a consort. She was the motherfucking emperor and the one and only to do it. She outlived her rivals by a long time. She outsmarted her enemies and she reshaped what women in power looked like for China. And I think, frankly, people were just scared of her. I think that when you look at her story, again, she was educated and people feared women that were educated from the jump, like to be that young and see, okay, yes, I do need to sleep my way up to the top for a little bit, but once I'm there, I'm going to do as much good as I can. And was she really evil? Did she really kill her own baby? Or was that just like a nasty rumor? I don't know. We don't know. But you got to hand it to her that she had to be one badass hoe to be able to succeed in doing all of what she did. So, confidants, don't be afraid to be called a hoe, okay? Because remember, Empress Wu was one. And, you know, she's in the fucking history books. So that is our hoe this week. Now you know. I always find it so fascinating every time I hear about someone new because I'm just like shook it that I didn't hear about them before, that I never knew that they existed. I get angry for myself, for all of the women that I probably still haven't discovered. And I also love when you guys give me suggestions. So if you have someone that you want me to do, I can't remember if we had done Cleopatra before, but I was looking at my list and I was like, have we done Cleopatra? I just feel like her story is so complex and already so well documented. I'm like, what am I going to tell you guys that you don't already know? And I also found that like a lot of the women I wanted to include were very involved in the arts, so a lot of like writers and poets and things like that. And I want more like sword swinging bitches. So if you have any suggestions, let me know. In the meantime, I cannot believe it's already October. What the actual? How is it already Halloween? I think we definitely need to do a Halloween giveaway for this season. I've got some like cool makeup and PR stuff that I'm not going to use. So I feel like I should do that giveaway. So make sure you go over to Confidently Pod on IG to check it out. And in the meantime, I hope your fall weather is changing and not making you too sad. I hope you're enjoying the pumpkin-y season. Whenever I start to get the sads, I always try to lean into like some fall behavior. You know, go to try some apple cider somewhere. Go just be outside in the fall foliage. Go do an arts and crafts day because it's always like a little bit moodier those days. So take care of yourself, babies. Confidants, we will see you next week. Love you so much. Ta-ta.